So the question was asked, isn't despair about feeling like you have no control? So let's organize our thoughts a little bit. But I want to begin with a fantastic story
about cheese
and mice. This story is really, they wrote it in a book. I don't remember the name of the book. It's something like Where's the Cheese or Finding the Cheese or who Moved My Cheese. That's it, Who Moved My Cheese. And the story basically goes like this. There were four rodents, two mice and two other type of less developed rodents. You remember, you read the book? Did you read the book?
I read the beginning of the story and maybe a little bit.
Do you remember the names of the rodents? So one was maybe called Frustration and the other one was maybe called Despair. I don't remember the names of the mice. Two very intelligent mice and two less intelligent rodents. And they go out through the maze searching for cheese. And one day they happen upon this tremendous source of cheese. And they come and they eat the cheese and they have a great time. And they go back home. The next morning they come back to that same room and they see again great cheese has been placed there and they eat it. And these two more intelligent mice start developing theories about why they deserve the cheese. They start hanging up pictures about the cheese. And they get very comfortable every day coming back to the same room and getting cheese. It never dawned on them to ask themselves, where is this cheese being replenished from every day? But they come and they have all these theories about why they should be getting the cheese and they're entitled to the cheese and they're enjoying the cheese. And then one day it happens. They come to the room and there's no cheese there. So the two less intelligent rodents, well, they're more instinctive. They're closer to nature. And they'd been noticing as the days went by that the cheese was getting less and less. And when the cheese didn't come, they took a quick survey of the room, realized there was no cheese, figured, okay, no cheese here. We better start searching again, go out the room, start running around. And they're running around the maze searching. The two more intelligent mice, well, they stand there and they look around and they start making all kinds of declarations. This cannot be happening to us. This can't be. We can't believe this. They look up, they look down, and they come to the final conclusion, this isn't fair. And they decide they are not budging. The cheese will have to come because they've come to the conclusion that they deserve it. They should be having this cheese. So they sit down there all day wondering, when are things going to be better? When are they going to have their cheese? And the day number one passes this way. Along comes day number two. They leave their homes, going to the same room, expecting the same cheese, sitting down and waiting, and lamenting, why isn't the cheese coming? Because it's not there on day number two. Well, the less intelligent rodents, they spent day number one already running through the maze, searching for more cheese. They haven't found it. They continue through the maze looking for a new room. And at day number two, they also haven't found it. The more intelligent mice, they haven't made any advancements. They're sitting in the same room, looking at the pictures, reminiscing about how good the cheese was, discussing how unfair it is that they're not getting the cheese, discussing how they better get the cheese because this is really not right that they're not getting cheese. And what do you think happens on day number three? More of the same. And the same on day number four. And on day number five, the rodents find the room with cheese. They walk into the cheese, they nibble at it. It is not good cheese. And they keep looking. Day number six comes, and one of the mice says to the other mice, you know, we're getting pretty hungry here. Maybe we should start looking for different cheese. And the other one says, are you kidding? We've always gotten our cheese here. We should be getting our cheese here. This isn't fair, and we will get our cheese back here. We are going to keep going back till we get our cheese here. So they both sit down and wait. No, no, thanks. On day number eight, again, the same mouse, he gets up and he tells his friend, you know, this is ridiculous, it's not coming, we better start looking, you know, we're getting skinny here, we got to find more cheese. And again, the same claims. And this time he tells his friend, I'm going. So he starts going out the room and his friend tells him, but what happens if you don't find cheese? then you will have run around, wasted all your strength for nothing. So he thinks about that, and he goes back, and he sits down, and he waits. And another day or two passes, and then he tells his friend, you know, this isn't happening, there's no cheese coming. By this day, by day number 10, the rodents have found the room packed with cheese. They're eating, they're having their hearts content, they're thrilled. These two mice have spent 10 days not eating. So this mouse number one gets up to leave the room, and his friend tells him, you know, you could spend days, months, years searching this labyrinth, you will not, and then if you don't find it, it will all have been for naught. And he looks out at the dark alleyway, and he looks back at his friend, and he looks at the 10 days where they haven't had cheese, and he tells himself, I gotta go. Time to face my fears. And he walks out the room, and he tells his friend, you could end up dying of hunger here, because cheese has not come in 10 days. So I might not find anything out there, but I have to go and look. And he leaves the room. And when he leaves the room and he faces the new challenges of life, he realizes a very important rule. And he turns to the wall and he writes on the wall rule number one. What would I do if I wasn't scared of failure? That is the first question you have to ask yourself. What am I not doing in life because I'm scared I will fail if I try? And that is the first rule, the first message he leaves himself on the wall. And with that thought, he says, what's been keeping me here is the thought, well, maybe if I try something else, I'm going to fail anyways. And that can't stop me from trying something else, because sometimes I'm a failure where I am as it is, so I might as well try something else. And he starts running through the labyrinth. He starts running through the maze, looking. And the rest of the book is about the lessons he learns in searching. And the book is a fantastic, it is a brilliant book. You could read it in a half hour. I read the whole book in a half hour. What?
I mean, this is a children's
book. No. This is an adult's book. This is a book that corporations gave out to their employees because very often in life we're stuck in this same room, and that room could be a girl who you thought you were going to marry and then it didn't work out, and you keep coming back and asking yourself, well, why isn't it working and it should work and it's not fair that it's not working. All those claims are claims that we make to ourselves, and we're scared of trying elsewhere, and we're not open to the fact that life is about the change. And the overall theme of the book is, if you're open to change, you can find cheese in another room. But you have to be open to dealing with the challenges of life. And I like the book. I think the book has an excellent message. I think the book is missing one point, maybe a few points, but the key point that the book is missing is that the book revolves around the philosophy that if you will only accept the challenges of life, and get out of the maze, get out of the room you're used to finding your cheese in. And that room could be the parnasa you do, it could be the job you do, it could be a million things. If you're only open to change, then you could really find the sustenance, be it whatever the cheese is in this particular challenge, in another room. And the key point, I think, to the book, which is missing, is the God factor. Meaning, why should I assume I'm going to ever find cheese? Maybe I will end up dying of hunger without cheese. The assumption I will find cheese revolves around the fact there's a God running this world, and what he wants of me is to do my best. I don't have to do better than my best, but I do have to do my best. So if I didn't do my best yesterday, that was yesterday's problem. But today's challenge is about doing my best today. So when we say despair revolves around my feeling that I am in control, it is the thought that my future revolves around whether I control my future, and I don't see myself getting out of this. It is true that despair is about, I despair, I don't see myself doing any better. I've given up, right? But it's also, I've given up, but what's presupposed before the sentence, I've given up, is that my success or failure is contingent on me. Yes, I am responsible to put in the maximum effort. That's my responsibility. But I'm not responsible for the result. I'm not in control of the result. If I think I'm in control of the result, then I despair because I think I can't make it out of here. But if I realize that my responsibility is not about the result, my responsibility is about the effort. My responsibility is to do the maximum I can do. Whether I will succeed or not is not my control. So then I don't have to despair because I'm not responsible for the result. It's like a kid who says, but I can't get 100 on this test, so I'm not going to try. But who said you have to get 100? There's a bell curve. If you've done the best you can, then maybe your 15 is going to be 100, right? You don't have to get 100. You have to do the best you can do. We say in this world, God judges us based upon our own potential. I'm not judged based on your potential. You're not judged based on mine. But I have to do the best I can.
This is...
Not following.
No, no, potential. What about ma'asim? You need to do something.
You have to do. But the second you realize that it's not about success or failure, it's about have you tried.
Okay, because you can say all your day in bed and say, oh, I'm a good person, I'm very intelligent.
We said you have to try. It's not theory. You have to really try. Despair is when I think I have to succeed. And I don't see myself succeeding. So I give up.
What if you're not afraid of failing? What if you're afraid of success? You know, everyone always says, always immediately looks, oh, you're afraid of failing. Like, no, what if you think that you can do something really great, and then you go, oh my gosh, if I do this thing that's really great, then all of a sudden, I'm going to be in a place, where people are going to be looking at me in a certain way, people are going to be expelling. What if that's your big fear? Like, oh wow, I have to see that. Are you familiar with the Peter Principle at all? The Peter Principle, this guy, several decades ago, came up with this theory of why things always go wrong. I've poked a few holes in it, but basically it goes like this. In a hierarchy, people tend to rise to their level of incompetence. So let's say you start in the mailroom of a corporation, and then you would get promotions, this and that, to become vice president. Now, you get the promotions because you're able to succeed where you're at, the level. Then you stop succeeding at the level where you're incompetent, which means you rise to the level where you're not good anymore. Isn't that a weird idea? Because that's like, you just like, oh, like that's why everything goes wrong. Because then you start making decisions you're not capable of making. Well, and in part it's because of your success. I mean, I guess you could theoretically rise all the way to the top, but that brings all kinds of other difficulties that maybe you just don't want to do.
And therefore what?
Well, like, you know, like, what if it's not a matter for you of thinking, well, I'm afraid of venturing out into the darkness to find some cheese? What if it's just a matter of, I want the hassle of having the cheese?
So then I think a person has to realize that it's laziness. Shlomo HaMelech says, there are levels of laziness. One of the levels is that a person says, Amar atzel ari b'chutz b'toch rechovot aratzeach. The lazy person says, there are lions out there. If I go out to that street, I'm going to get killed. I know people like that. I know people who don't leave the house because they're scared of getting killed.
Really?
Yeah.
They
have a problem. Maybe they should go to a consultation. Maybe they need a therapist. Maybe they need a psychologist. Maybe they need a rabbi. Maybe they just have to face their fears. I'm not saying what the solution is, but I think that they have a problem, right?
Have you been involved in with a terrorist attack?
No. There are people who have problems. So maybe they should see a psychologist. You know, there's a reason why God gave us this gift of understanding psychology. Sometimes that's the solution, but make sure you get a good one. I would consult with a rabbi before going to a psychologist to get a recommendation. There are good psychologists, and then there are psychologists who are not good. And a not good psychologist can be a big problem. Not only not a solution, but a big problem. I've seen people whose lives have been ruined by bad psychologists. So you gotta get a good psychologist if you're going to go to one.
You could do an ad for your company, but it's too.